This is what he's telling him. This is what God is telling both Eve and the devil. I want you to make sure that you're real clear on this. And this sets forth the whole prophetic biblical narrative.
It was the first prophecy, right?
Yes. And it's the first prophecy of the Christ to come, that Jesus would come and he would have to win our salvation for us. That he would have to come and make everything right, that he was going to crush the devil's head. The devil had just got dominion handed over to him. God's saying it's not going to be like this forever. There's going to come one that's going to destroy you. And it's going to come through Eve, Jennifer Prater Leach. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. This is very important, and I did not intend on talking about this tonight, but I feel like God's wanting me to talk about this tonight. Now, Genesis chapter 6. Now, Amy, you're our Bible reader, right? Nice and slow, I want you to read chapter 6, verse 1.
And it came to pass, when men begin to multiply on the face of the earth.
Stop. That sounds so mundane, so everyday, right? But if we're reading the Bible with our eyes wide open, and we're looking through the lens of God, and we're trying to understand things spiritually, and we're thinking about what we've already learned in Genesis chapter 3, that God had just told the devil 3 chapters before this that he was going to send somebody through Eve that's going to destroy him. Now, I want you to read that where I stopped you at again. Now, think about this with me real quick. Okay, now listen to what she's about to read. Again, God just told the devil that her seed was going to come and destroy the devil. The devil knows that what God says is going to happen, right? Now, I want you to think about this with me as she reads that slowly again.
And it came to pass when men begin to multiply on the face of the earth.
Stop. So if men, I want you to know something. The Bible never ever says anything, just everything is said for a reason. And if there's a reason for us to know that man began to multiply on the earth, and if you're the devil, what does that mean to you? By what you've just been told by God, what would that mean?
Think you have to get your own troops out.
You're going to get your own troops. What else might it mean?
More people coming against him.
More people coming against him. You're getting close.
Somebody in that multiplying might be the one.
Somebody in the multiplying?
So he has to destroy everybody, isn't it?
Okay. So
he gets to that person.
All right. Listen very carefully. Because it's all going to get explained right here.
We just started, by the way.
So God just told the devil in Genesis chapter 3 that her seed, her children, there's going to come a child to Eve that was going to grow up and destroy the devil. God bless you, brother. Love
you. Bless you.
So, Amy, I want you to read it again and then I'm going to answer why.
And it came to pass, when men begin to multiply on the face of the earth.
Stop. Oh my gosh. If I'm the devil, thank God I'm not. Some people might say I am. Hey, I've been called that. As men begin to multiply on the earth, I'm Satan. I'm sitting here going, man, boy, just 3 chapters ago, God just told me that there's going to be born to this woman a Messiah who's going to destroy me. They're multiplying. What do you think he's thinking? There might come someone there. That someone might be on the earth.
He's coming up with a plan.
men began to multiply on the earth, that mean that means the chances of this Messiah that God promised in Genesis chapter 3 might be alive right then or might be coming. Look, men's multiplying on the earth. Satan forms a plan. Let's read on. Let's see what this has got to say. Genesis chapter 6. Now let's read down through. Keep on reading. They began to multiply on the face of the earth and...
daughters were born unto them.
Yes. Two.
That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose.
Stop.
I knew you was going to do that.
So here's the devil's plan in action. Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to lead you straight up to this, what we just read. Here is where you have to know the book of Enoch now. Enoch was removed from the holy canon at the Edict of Nicaea in about 300 and something. There was, I think, 14 other books that we had in our Bible that was removed by the Catholic Church. And Enoch was one. And it was referenced in the Bible several times by the apostles. Mm-hmm. But I have studied the book of Enoch, and so I'm able to share it with you. And I've studied all these other apocryphal books, the books of the Apocrypha. So I can fill in these gaps. The sons of God, if you look this up in the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Latin, all interlinear scriptures point that these are angels. So what did Satan do? Satan caused the angels to come down, these fallen ones, these watchers as they're called, and they began to marry and have sex with and had offspring with men's, the daughters of men. Why would he do such a thing? The Bible calls them giants. The word giants in the Greek and in the Hebrew is Nephilim. Nephilim. Giants. They're Nephilim or Nephilim.
I remember him preaching right? about it.
You remember me teaching this?
I do, because my sister was like, does that mean? Is that true?
So it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. So these.
Is that somebody this morning?
Yeah.
Who did I send that to?
I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
We had this discussion about 2 months ago, probably.
Yeah. So the Nephilim, giants, were born. These giants were supernatural in size, and it caused God to destroy the earth. Okay? You will find this out if they wouldn't have took the book of Enoch out of our scripture. Because it clearly spells it out. Right? We know it existed in the days of Jesus because Jude talks about it, and so does other apostles refer to it. It's referred to several times in the New Testament Bible that we have, the book of Enoch. It even names the angels that was responsible for the rebellion and what they taught men and how they began to influence mankind to get into witchcraft and to herbology and astrology. And all these things were taught by angels. And it's why also that Paul the Apostle tells, I believe it was the Galatian church, he says, even if an angel from heaven teaches you any other thing than what I have taught. Now why would he say that? Because it's already happened. There was angelic interference here. Why would, now think with me just for a second. We just saw in Genesis chapter 3, all the answers are locked up in the Bible. We just saw in Genesis chapter 3 where God says the devil would have seed. Didn't it say it? Did you guys not read it? It said it, didn't it? And it said Eve would have seed. Here's the devil's seed. So why would the devil do that? Now
he's
think about
an army.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. What's he trying to contaminate? He just heard God.
He's trying to throw off from the back.
Thank you. Genesis chapter 3 tells us that the Messiah was going to come through Eve, right? Mm-hmm. So how else, what greater plan could the devil ever try to come up with? Then he would be able to corrupt the DNA of mankind with his seed and cause the Messiah to not come. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because that's absolute truth. That's not the book of J. That's absolute Bible that nobody teaches. Maybe not. Maybe Dana does. This is absolute scripture. Unpolluted.
That's why my sister said, will you ask Jay and Dana about that? I need to know. I mean, she was confused. Yeah. She thought, well, that wasn't true. I mean, that's
absolutely true. This is absolutely true.
Above our minds.
She'd never heard it.
Right.
That's
why it was when you get into the last days prophecies, remember, we're told it will be as it was in the days of Noah, and it will be as it was in the days of Lot. So what was the days of Noah? The days of Noah was angelic intervention. Yes, about the UFOs. That's why you're seeing them. That's why our government's coming out and saying they're real. That's why they're saying the grayskins are real. And the reptilians are real. And that the Octurians are real. Our government said it. They had a meeting. They had a congressional meeting where they come out and said yes. That we have craft. And we have bodies that is not of this earth. They said that.
I missed that.
Did you guys miss that?
Yeah, I missed it.
Oh my goodness. Help me put some.
For my freshman, one of my research papers, I researched Project 51. Mm-hmm. Project 51.
Bob Lazar.
Project Blue Book.
Mm-hmm. Bob Lazar. How do you think we come up with stealth technology from nowhere? We've had anti-gravitational technology since the 50s. We don't need fossil fuels. I could tell you things that I'm not supposed to tell you.
Go for it.
No, I'm getting the look.
You're being done.
It's opening the game here, right?
I know things. I'll tell you that. But I can't tell you.
Well, let's quit talking about it.
Okay. But I can assure you. I can assure you. This is what that is. Angelic interference. So the Bible says they left their original domain. When speaking of this in the New Testament, the Bible says that God reserves in chains these particular angels, these particular fallen angels, that they are so wicked and so terrible and so decadent that God has them imprisoned in chains, right? Awaiting judgment. That they're too wicked to be out, but the devil is. You ever read that scripture? Where they're reserved. We're gonna here in just a minute, we'll look this up and we'll have you read the look on your phone real quick if you would, Amy. Angels that God has imprisoned. And read it from the King James Version, if you would.
Some of the scholars actually believe they may be more powerful than Michael or Gabriel.
And they're even more wicked than Satan himself.
Genesis 6, 1 and 2, 1 Peter 3:18.
1 Peter 3. Read 1 Peter. And I want you to read that for all of us here. I'm recording. 1 Peter chapter 3, is it 18?
3:18 through 20.
Okay. Kim, mm-hmm. You read that one for us.
Okay.
1 Peter 3:18 through 20. Nice and loud so they can hear you on the phone here.
Are you recording?
Yeah. These kinds of answers, I want to tell you something. If you want true biblical answers, this is it. You can go to a Baptist church somewhere, or an Episcopalian church somewhere, or a Methodist church somewhere, and they're not going to tell you this because they're too afraid to. Read that, 1 Peter 3:18-20.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God,
being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water.
That's not what I was looking for. Check it out. Imprisoned by God. Angels imprisoned by God. I thought you were in it right there. But I'm pretty sure it's in 1 Peter.
Second Peter 2.
Go ahead and read that. I thought it was 1 Peter. Everybody, this is Amy Cox.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment.
There you go. Wait a minute. 2 Peter
4.
4.
And I think it says through 7.
Read that again.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person.
All this was happening in the days of Noah? You're kidding me.
A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
So what Amy just read, that there are these angels that's so wicked, that sinned in the days of Noah, that God threw them into hell and has chained them there until the day of judgment, when he will cast death, hell, and the grave into the lake of fire that burns forever. It was in the days of Noah, these angels that did this wicked thing. It was this angelic intervention with man where they crossed over from the realm. You know, in the Bible, there, you know, a lot of bad groups try to use this. The scripture says there will be no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven, right? That's what the scripture says, right? In that realm. But they left their original habitation, it says, or their realm, and came to this one, where you can multiply. And that's actually the creative order that God says, do multiply, do get together, multiply, and multiply and cover the earth with your descendants. This is what the angels did. That was the vile nature of their sin. That's why they were cast into hell. That's why you have angelic intervention trying to get into the human DNA so that the Messiah could not come through the woman. So what is today's problem? All of a sudden now we call them UFOs and all these things. Do I believe them? Absolutely. They're not sci-fi. That's demonic. Are they going to make themselves known? The Bible says there are three heavens. This one, a second one, which is where Satan has his place. And then the third heaven, which is heaven itself. Do I believe? Absolutely, I believe. And what do I believe? There's going to be, just like it was in the days of Noah, you are going to have demonic interference, angelic, demons are fallen angels. You're going to have demonic influence in mankind at a massive rate. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. The Bible says the land was filled with violence. And the land was filled with Nephilim. Giants were in the land. And they were destroying the earth. And they were destroying mankind. And God put an end to it. That's why even to this day, there are museums. I forget the main museum out in Washington, D.C. They have gigantic human-like skeletons. But they claim that now that we're getting close to the end times, you know, look in Google, you'll find these things. You'll find ginormous skeletal remains that has been hidden away, and we're not able to see those things anymore. That's what's going on right now, is you have demonic interference with humans again at a accelerated rate. Look at what's going on, disciples of Christ. Look at this. It was in the days of Noah and Lot. So you have angelic interference that's also causing mass moral problems. Right? Look at what we're facing. Another transgender shooting down at Joel Osteen's church. That was a transgender woman saying she's a man who brought her biological baby that she had into the shooting and got shot in the head.
Yeah.
Right? This is like the fifth or sixth one of these. But you'll never ever hear anything about it, and you're never going to be told anything about it because the media is controlled by the demonic spirits. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is crazy right now. People identifying as dogs and cats. And then school boards and school systems putting litter boxes, for crying out loud, in restrooms. I would have loved that as a senior in high school. Unbelievable what's happening. Violence, we talked about those statistics I taught last week. The violent things that's going on within our country. It is absolutely horrible. So here is your look. Are aliens real? They're not like Star Trek Enterprise. Right?
You're yes. Klingon.
Yes. They're not that.
Romulus.
They are demonic spirits. The Bible says that Satan, who's read this before, that he can transform himself into an angel of light. They have supernatural capability, more than what you could. We think we have to be able to explain things based on our knowledge and based on this carnal life that we live. When Jesus, we clearly see that Jesus, after Jesus was rose again, he could walk through walls. Right? The disciples was in the upper room and poof, he was there. And then poof, he was gone. And then but yet he could sit on the beach with the disciples and have a fish breakfast with them. But then he could jump on a cloud and ascend into heaven, watched by over 500 people, a historical event. So why should this surprise us? Why does it surprise you? Do we think that the devil has got to play according to our realm and our rules? He's a higher created being. And this is why, maybe this is a good kickoff to the one I was trying to get started with. This is why, as a disciple, we have to stop this carnal thinking and understand we are dealing with, the Bible says, principalities and powers in high places, wickedness in a created higher state than you are. And you don't stand a chance without Christ. He will mow you over. And if you give him one inch, he will take you down. And if you give in on your family and you give him an inch, he'll take them down. Give the devil his due now. Without Christ, he's going to win. You can't stop it. That's why I preach the way I preach. And if I was in a church somewhere, I'm in a church right now, but I feel like running around the room right now. Because that's why the Bible tells us, why is it such a significant thing when the Bible says, greater is he that's in you. Because you're fighting this thing that's created so much higher than you are, but yet you can defeat him based on who's in you, you see. But we suppress that. And we think we have to be limited to this little world that we have, that we live in, this little sphere that our workplace and our little church we go to and our little house, and we think God is just in this little bitty box, you know, and that's all. The devil would love you to believe that. Love you to believe that. As long, he'll let you sing Amazing Grace in church all the day long, as long as you don't use Jesus' name in your personal life, as long as you fail to believe and surrender your life totally to Him. He's cool with that. We live so far beneath what we can and should be.
Amen.
We suppress it. The Bible says we suppress the truth in our life. Because you asked a question. You know, when, and I've been asked this question many times. Pastor, why when I pray don't things happen? Well, we have to take a really close look at how our life is being lived. These folks that live their life, you're seeing total, utter surrender to Jesus Christ. Are you? Is there sin in your life? I mean, you got to think about these things. If there's sin in the camp, right? If you're unequally yoked, if there's sin going on in your life, if you're holding aught against somebody, that's why the Bible says, let a man examine himself and see if he is of the faith. We have to continually look inwardly and ask God to wash us in the blood and live a life of surrender to God and allow God to use us and be totally susceptible to His use and His purposes and not ours. That's why the Bible says that if he that doesn't pick up his cross and follow after him is not worthy of him. It's not just going to church and making a proclamation that I'm saved. It's an every moment, every day walk. That's so very important. So I gave you a brief look at the prophetic narrative set forth in Genesis chapter 3, followed up in Genesis chapter 6, confirmed in 2 Peter, not 1st, but 2 Peter, of what these angels did, right, that reserved them in chains of bondage, that man began to multiply, that you had demonic influence in the days of Noah. We're told that the sons of God, these angelic beings, come down and had sex with women and had offspring with them in order to try to contaminate the DNA of man so that the Messiah couldn't come through it. And that's why Noah was selected. He was pure in all of his generations. You see what I'm saying? So if you follow the Bible, purity in what way? He was holy and he had not the Nephilim DNA. And God saved him and had to build a new earth through him, a new people. Had to start all over again. Why would God do so? If you didn't know that, then why do you think God would destroy the earth and all of its inhabitants in the first place? Why would he do such a thing? We are way more wicked than they were right now. There's a lot more of us, and we have the ability to be, with our technology, I can at the press of send on my cell phone, ruin your life, ruin your reputation, assassinate your character, say lies about you that doesn't exist, but yet people read it and believe it, and I've killed you across the world. Unbelievable. So when you set, now that you know and you have this knowledge, and you look at this and you go, man, why would God destroy all these people that was on the earth? Why? Because they were half human and half devil. That's why the Bible says, and you read it, you guys are looking at me like, man, maybe Pastor Jay's lost his mind.
It's because we don't ever hear this stuff.
I know it. You have to be a student of this. And I mean, throw yourself into it to know it. The devil has seed. You read it. If you believe the word of God, you got to believe the devil had seed. Because God himself said, your seed is going to be at war with her seed. And that's exactly what was going on. That's why God had to destroy the earth. It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. That's the truth. I have researched this, looked this up, forwards, backwards, top, bottom. I'm telling you. So when somebody says, hey, pastor, do you believe in UFOs? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what they are. They're demons who are entering this realm. Absolutely. Who have an ability that we can't even know. Listen, on the former earth, why do you think, now I want you to listen closely to me, and I want you guys to go and research this for yourself. On the old earth, in time immemorial, we can't even date them. There are structures on this planet that we, with our technology, cannot build. There are, in, I think it's Argentina, there are rocks cut, mammoth rocks the size of this apartment, that are cut so accurately that a human hair can't be fit in between them. And they date back past anything. They're stones that we can't cut. Look it up for yourself. Well, where do you think that come from? Who did that? I can tell you who did that. Fallen angel technology and architecture. A higher being. The petroglyphs and things inside of pyramids. When animal life and everything, the Bible says that animal life, human life, was all contaminated by this angelic interference. Who do you think made these things that we can't even make today? That we go back and into the Bronze Age. Well, they can't cut anything with bronze. We can't even cut these rocks ourselves. Well, scientists today go, we just don't know. That's because they are not people of faith. We know who did that. We're told right here that they intertwined themselves with man and they began to do these things. That's why. That's who did it. And so Jesus himself says, if you will not praise me, these rocks will cry out. Well, that's the rocks crying out the accuracy of the Bible. But yet we don't teach truth. We want to stay in our little world and get your tithes and move right along. See, all of the answers to all of life is right here. It's just we don't look into it and we don't study it. This should be the only book you ever read that you're never done with. Because you will glean more knowledge every time. I've read it through and through many, many times. And every time I read this, I glean something more. God shows me something more. Every single time. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever caught this stuff in Genesis, but we just read it together.
It tells it right in the notes, though, if we would read them. It does tell just exactly what he said.
Yeah, it's all right here.
In the study notes.
It's all right there. If you'll read it and study it and make this your lifeline, hold on to this with all your might, then you won't be deceived. I can tell you who these aliens are. I don't need some dude to scientifically reverse engineer these things out in Area 51 out there and Bob Lazar and come up with anti-gravitational stuff. I can tell you who did this. I can tell you what they are. Because I know. People said alcoholism's hereditary. You know, we think that that's some new technology. The Bible says the sins of the father shall be passed down to the third and fourth generation. So is alcoholism hereditary? The Bible already said it. Drugs, sins, everything, the whole nine yards, pornography, the whole nine yards. Already said it. Said it would be hereditary. And then they think that they have to look into the genetics of man in order to understand it's a spiritual thing. So we have to, as disciples, and this is a rabbit hole I went down, didn't mean to go down, I wasn't even prepared for this. But this, this is absolutely essential. I got 4 minutes to make this a one-hour presentation.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about next time. Is authority. Authority. I think I might have taught you guys this too. Authority.
That's what they've been preaching.
Yeah.
Is it authority? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you about authority. As a disciple, you have been authorized. Write that word down. This is what we're going to teach next time. At the city where I was at, my signature, I was authorized by a higher governing force. I was authorized by that higher force. I could go out and take my pen and my signature was worth millions. I could go buy a $1 million piece of equipment off my signature because I had authority. That's the next thing I'm going to teach you about being a disciple, is being authorized and understanding what kind of authority or authorization have you been given. What kind of spiritual authorization has God given you to operate in a spiritual kingdom? Right? So it's a good segue into that. I've got 2 more minutes for 1 hour. So authority. I'm going to read this to you. This is what we're going to read next time. And this is in Luke 9, 1 through 6. And he called the 12 together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got 3/4 of that number here. He called the 12 together. Listen to this. Luke 9, 1 through 6. And gave them power. In other words, he gave them authorization. They couldn't give themselves authorization to do anything. That's why denominationalism, that's why these people that start things that try to authorize themselves, you have got to be led by God to do things.
This is what Tim Elkins preached on January the 10th.
Mm-hmm. Authorization. Mm-hmm. Authority. Listen to this. He gave them power, listen, and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible, in case the King James is a little different. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healings. And he said to them, now Jesus hadn't been with them all that long. They didn't go to Bible college. They didn't have Bibles to read. They didn't have instructions going on. They did, but they didn't understand what was going on. I'm going to talk about that here. I could go on all night tonight, but I know Dana's got to eat his supper. And it says,
I would say something
about that. And you're hungry too, daggone
it. No, I ain't worried about eating.
But I don't want you to worry about the time.
Right.
And he said to them,
you got it.
Okay. Okay. And this is what he said. He gave them authority over all. The very first thing that he gave them authority over, the very first thing is the thing we've been talking about. He gave them authority over demons. Why? Because they're the ones that started this whole thing. The rebellion. The intervention of humans. Now, you know, we have stopped the Nephilim engagement with women, and now they possess you. Now the way they get into you is into your soul. And so, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healings. Listen, take nothing, he says. Well, let me go back. I'm going to read this whole thing. And he called together the 12 and gave them power and authority over all the demons. Very first thing. Second thing, heal the diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healings. So like a fourfold, some say twofold, I say fourfold. He tells them to take authority over the demons, to heal diseases, to proclaim the kingdom of God, and to perform healings. So what you have here is demonic stuff and physical stuff. You have spiritual authority, physical authority. If somebody has a disease that's really a disease, you have physical authority. If someone has a demon, and that demon's causing, because there's things called spirits of infirmity, spirits that causes people to have sicknesses, demonic people, it's people that's hunched over, and they had a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus had to cast it out, and they were at once stood up straight, or they had a deaf spirit about them, they had a demon in them that kept them from talking, and God cast the demon out of them. So you have spiritual authority, and you have physical authority. is what he says here. To a bunch of fishermen that didn't know nothing. The only experience they had was the time that they had been spending with Jesus. That's the only experience they had. And leading up to this, that's just so important, but I want to get into this real quick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. Neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, or money. And do not even have two tunics apiece. In other words, this isn't vacation time. He's trying to teach them that A, they have authority over these things we talked about, and B, they need to learn to depend on God for everything they need. Jesus had fed the people in front of them, right? I mean, look at all the things that Jesus did leading up to this. I mean, he had the woman that had the issue of blood in chapter 8 come up to him and desired healing. And he said, stop, somebody's touched me. And then they all go crazy. And then there was Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter, and he raised her from the dead, and she had already died. And then, I mean, there were so many things going on. These disciples was witnessing the power of Jesus, and he was setting it up that they would see all these things that they now were going to be having to go do. So if you read chapter 8 before you get chapter 9, you understand Jesus is setting this up. Right? He's showing them. He's teaching them, what better experience can you have than first-hand witness of what's going on? Right? I'm about ready to take off in here. And he says,
you got 2 minutes.
I got 1 minute. And this way said, I need to speed read. And whatever house you enter is in. No, wait a minute. And whatever house you enter, stay there and take your leave from there. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And departing, they began going amongst all the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. In other words, he sent them out to evangelize with no experience.